Are you ready for the word?
Amen.
Well, you know we serve a faithful God. There's nothing that God won't do for us as long as we stay faithful to him. Just stay faithful to him. Like Pastor TJ said, we're starting a brand new series this morning on the importance of faith. You know, the scripture said, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. And Pastor Justin put that song right on time. You got it right on time, Pastor Justin, because that's what we're talking about. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Even in these trying times, even these uncertain times, every believer through faith can receive and experience the benefits of the promises found in the word. You know, even during this pandemic, I challenge you to take an assessment of your life right now. After all been said and done, all the stuff that we went through, all this uncertainty, take an assessment of your life right now. And you will find out that God is still blessing you. Matter of fact, you're going to find that you are better off now than you were before it started.
Amen.
And you can see that he can continue to bless you. From the beginning to the end, you can see that God is faithful.
Right.
During these times, believers, you're not just surviving. You are thriving.
Amen.
I challenge you to take an assessment. Not just your financial assessment. Take an assessment of your family relationships. Take an assessment of the relationship that you're having with God right now. And you will see that everything that we are doing, that God is in the midst of it. And see, Satan will always try to do us harm. Because this pandemic, Satan meant it for evil and for harm.
Mm-hmm.
But God has turned it around to our good. He's turned it around to our good. Assess your life right now. And then when you get to the end of this, you can look back and say, I don't know how he did it, but he did. Because our God will make a way when there is no way. When your back seems like it's against the wall, And when you're in your darkest spot, we know that we have a way maker, miracle worker, a promise keeper.
Yes.
And he's that light in that dark place.
Amen.
So the only thing we got to just continue to believe God. Continue to believe God. But we are where we're at only through our faith. So that's what we're going to talk about. For the next few weeks, you don't want to miss any of them. I'm going to start off this subject. We're going to talk about the foundations and the elements of faith. What does it take to be faithful? Let's put up that first scripture. And this first scripture in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible. Let's stop right there. Now, we're preaching on the importance of faith. So right there, faith tells you that faith is important. Because without faith, we cannot please God. So we got to have that God-pleasing kind of faith in order to come before him. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what is that him? We need to have a knowledge of who we to please. That's why we need to study the word. We need to get it down in our spirit. We need to know who is trustworthy. Because it's like, if I were to tell you to get in your car and don't turn the key because there's a bomb in it, you don't know me from Adam's house cat. Now, it's how much trust that you have in me, whether you turn that key or not. It's the same with God. We got to know his characters. We got to know who he is and how loving he is toward us. We have to find that out. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for who comes to God must believe that he is. And that's another one. We got to believe that he is who he says he is. And he's able to perform what he said he can perform in his word. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those rewards are his promises. Those are his promises. So we're going to talk about the elements this morning, the elements of faith, which is the knowledge of God. The belief that we have in him, speaking and confessing his word, and having total and trust confidence in him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you that the word will go forth on this day. And Father, I decrease right now that you might increase. Holy Spirit, we yield to you because you are the teacher. And whatever you say on this day, Holy Spirit, I declare our ears are open and our hearts are ready to receive what the Spirit is saying to us on this day. As we dive into your word, let us be open to you. Let us receive. And Father, we think that it will land on good soil and produce fruit in our lives. And we give you all praise and all glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. So just what is faith? You know, I used to hear a lot of cliches about faith, you know. One of them I used to hear that faith is like a spare tire. Or you keep it in your car, but make sure it's pumped up because you don't know when you're going to need it. I sort of dispelled that one.
That's right.
Because I feel I need faith every day of my life.
Amen.
Every hour of my life, I need to have faith. One of my pastors told me one time ago, a while back, and I never forget this. He said, your greatest miracle is never having to have a miracle. Your greatest miracle is never having to have a miracle. So if God is taking care of you from day to day, what miracle you need? Because you have all those small miracles happening in your life each and every day.
Right.
And that never left me, that my greatest miracle is never having to have a miracle, never have to go before God and ask for a miracle, because he's performing in my life each and every day. That's what our faith is, God performing his word in our life. Another one is faith is like a muscle. Now, I can get with that one. Because we have to build our faith. The more we work our faith, the stronger our faith becomes. It's like a bodybuilder. The more you work that muscle, the bigger that muscle becomes, and the stronger you are to stand on that word. So I can get with that, that faith is like a muscle, because we need to work our faith. We need to study more. We need to know who God is. Stay in his word. Study more. And the more we study, the more we believe.
Yes.
The more we believe, the more we confess. The more we confess, the more we trust in him. So let's go to John. You know, for it is so simple. Faith is the simplest thing that we can do as far as believing God. Because take the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whosoever believe him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that seems simple enough. Just believing God and believing if we believe him, that we'll have everlasting life. But a lot of times we put so many things on top of it. Like we got to do so many other things rather than just believe him. Rather than just take him at his word. So we're going to go to Webster Dictionary to give you a definition of what faith is. We can put that definition on the screen. This is out of Webster's 1828 dictionary. And it says, evangelical, justifying, or saving faith is the accent of the mind to the truth of divine revelation. On the authority of God's testimony, accompanied with a cordial assent of the will of the appropriation of the heart, an entire confidence or trust in God's character or declarations. And in the character and doctrines of Christ, with an unreserved surrender of the will of his guidance and dependence on his merits and salvation. Now, that's a lot. That's a mouthful. So simply said, believe God. Believe who he is. Believe that he can perform what he says he can perform. And trust him in everything that you do. That's simple. But we have to make it so complicated. Faith is simple. But you have to stack these elements in order to experience true faith and experience what God has for you. The first element, like I said before, is knowledge. A lot of times people say, if you know something, why you have to have faith in it? But so I disagree with that too. Because I'm not going to have faith in anything I don't know about. It's like me meeting a stranger. And he's saying, man, let me tell you about this good deal I got. Man, I don't know nothing about you. So why am I going to believe what you say until you show me proof? That's why we got to know God. We got to know him for ourselves. That's why the word said that you have to know the word for yourself. You can't believe what everybody say. But when you got the word inside of you and you know what the word is saying about that particular thing that you need, that promise that you are believing God for, you have to know it for yourself. So if Jesus is the object of our faith, we need to know that he's trustworthy. I'd like to put up this quote. I was going online. I seen a good quote from a pastor, Steve Martell. He had a pretty good article on faith. And this quote reads, if you can put that on screen for me. However, true faith or biblical faith consists of an object and a conviction. As believers, we are committed to whom we believe. So the trustworthiness of the object of our faith is of paramount importance. You think about that. The object of our faith, he has to be trustworthy. We got to know that Jesus can perform, that Jesus can do what he said he can do. Because that is the substance of our faith. Just think, if that tomb was not empty, what would we have to have faith in? That's the whole premise of our beliefs, that tomb is empty. Because he said that on the third day I'll rise up and I will ascend, sit on the right hand of the Father, make an intercession on your behalf. Because that tomb is empty, I have confidence, I have trust that he say who he say he is. And I have no doubt. So we need to continue to study the word of God. Find out the truth. Find out what belongs to you. That's important. Find out what belongs to you. Find out what promises that God made that belong to you. If the Bible says that the healing belongs to you, then that is the truth. And the truth is that we have power over sickness. If the Bible says that God will supply all your needs, then you should have no lack. All your needs should be met. God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings and to make us victorious in every area of life. But this doesn't mean we won't have trials and tribulations. I call them the trip T's. You can always be tested, tried, and you go through trials. You're going to have that. Because he said that he's overcome the world, but those tribulations, those trials, and those testings will come to us. But we need to find out the promise that cover those trials, that Amen. Testing, yes. and that tribulation.
That's right.
And we begin to confess those promises. And then God said, I will be with you at all times for whatever we're going through, knowing our faith for God is there. Amen. He's always there. He's always there to perform his word in our lives. Romans 10 and 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we got to continue to listen to preaching. We got to continue to get into the word. Because the faith comes by hearing. That first hearing is hearing the physical word. It's hearing the word spoken. It's hearing that spoken word. But that second hearing is a spiritual hearing, where you get it down in your spirit. And then you start relying on that word. Because you know that you serve a trustworthy God. You serve a faithful God.
Right.
You serve a God that is never late.
Right.
And a God that has never failed. Right. See, when you get that down into your spirit, then you don't have to worry about anything else. Hmm. Because God has promised to perform his word in his life.
Amen.
Notice that belief comes before knowledge. I'm sorry, belief comes after knowledge. We have a knowledge of him. Then we believe that he can perform his word. You know, the only way a person can have a knowledge of God is to hear about him. So now, we have a responsibility. We have the Spirit of God in us. But now, it's our responsibility to make sure that word is spread. We are the preachers now. Because we know God. And we know what God can do. So now, in Romans 10 and 14, I'm reading this out of New King James Version. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? When we become believers, then it's our responsibility to share the word of God. Because if it don't come from you, then who would it come from? God has put us here as his feet, as his mouthpiece, as his arms to accomplish what he would have done if he was here.
Amen. Yes,
that's good. He's the head and we're the body. Amen. So we need to share our faith with everybody. We can't be shy about it. Mm-hmm. We can't stand in fear. What somebody can do, you serve a God that's all powerful. So whatever anybody do you can't be more than what God can provide for you.
That's right. Amen.
So it should be no fear in sharing the gospel. No fear. But what happens with those who choose not to believe and choose not to walk in faith and choose not to have the knowledge of God? Because you got some believers that don't want to keep digging in the word. You know, I call them, they still my brothers and sisters. They still in the body of Christ. But if you don't want to learn about healing, then you be the sick part of the body. If you don't want to give according to the word, tithes and offering, then you be the broke part of the body. But once you choose to believe the word of God, then that word will be performed in your life. Yeah, you still my brother, you still my sister, but you be my sick brother, my sick brother and sister. If you're not going to believe the word and find out the promises that God has for you, he said he's taken your infirmity and bore your sickness. Through his stripes, through his wound, you are healed. So you call it that. He said, if you bring your tithes and offering, he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out, bless you, not have room enough to receive, that you can bless others. If you don't want to believe that word, then you stay broke. Let those windows stay closed over your house.
That's right.
Be open over my house. But what happened to those who choose not to know God? Proverbs 1 and 29, New King James Version. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. In other words, when God rebuke you, you won't have that anymore because you choose not to have knowledge of him. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to full with their own fancies. In other words, God say, hey, you can be there, but I'm not going to feed you. You're on your own. That's exactly what he's saying here. If you refuse the knowledge of me, then you're on your own. Because the only way the word will work in your life is that you know the word.
Yes.
And that you know the promises. Because he's given us precious promises. He said, I've given you everything to deal with life and godliness. We already have. But you still need to have knowledge of it. Know what to pray about when you pray. Fear of the Lord is reverence. How can you revere God if you don't have faith in him? How can you have faith in him if you don't believe? And how can you believe if you don't know? How can you believe if you don't know? In Matthew, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that laden and have burden and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if we just take the time just to learn of him, learn of his promises, to learn of his mercy, his grace, and his love. Just learn of him. He said, you learn of me, I will take you under my wings. He said, I will come alongside of you. That's what yoke means. I will come alongside of you. Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, brothers and sisters, first, we have to have knowledge of the God that we serve. We have to have knowledge of what he stands for. We have to have knowledge of his character in order for us to believe. The second element, we have to believe and receive. You must believe that God's word is true, even if the word says contrary to what you believe in the natural. Because the kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. Like you go to a game, you yell every time a touchdown is made. In the kingdom of God, you yell before the touchdown. Because you praise him,
that's right,
whether you're blessed or not.
Amen.
You praise him whether you're blessed or not. And what kind of kingdom do you give and receive more than you give? None. It's an upside down kingdom. But that's how God wanted, because for him to do his will in your life, then he got to do it to the point where anybody know only he could have done it. Everything is done to his glory. Everything is done to his glory. The second, I could put this quote on the board by Pastor Steve Martell. Faith recognizes the personal relevance of knowledge. It is being convinced in our own hearts of the significance of that truth for our lives. Just knowing doesn't do anything for you unless you believe it to be true for you personally. See, if you don't have a personal belief, because without a personal belief, you cannot have a personal relationship. Like me and my wife, if I don't believe in her, I can't have a personal relationship with her, because there'll always be something between us. The same way with you and your father. You have to know him. You have to believe him personally, not something someone said to you. You got to know it within. It got to be an inner knowledge, not a mental assent, but an inner knowledge that you know that the God you serve. I believe that the only thing that hurts God is for his children not to believe him and his ability to perform his word. You must believe that God's word is true in your life. You must believe that his promises belong to you. Let's take Abraham. The word said, Abraham believed the Lord and he counted to him as righteousness. Just think about that for a minute. As believers, if we fall short on what God assigned us to do, just our belief in him might take us that extra mile. Because he's not judging us on works anymore. You're not being judged on works. You've been judged on faith. And faith alone. He said, if I believe you, I will count that part as righteousness. So when we fall a little short, as long as we believe him, as long as we have faith in him, God said, I will carry that extra mile to take you to the point where I want you to be, simply because you believe me. In Mark 11, 23, it said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things that he says shall come to pass. And what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. See, that one scripture calls Satan to fight us in every area of our life. Satan attacks us. But you know what? The devil is a liar. And we need to call him that. When Satan sit on your shoulder and whisper in your ear that you are not good enough, that you can't do that, we need to call him what he is. He's a liar. So we call sickness, you are a liar. Disease, you are a liar. Poverty, you are a liar. Lack, you are a liar.
Amen.
Unsaved spouse, you are a liar. Unsaved children, you are a liar. Depression, you are a liar. We need to call it out. Call it what it is. And we need to serve a conviction notice of all the things that try to invade us. Serve that conviction notice. Because they are trespassing on God's property. We are bought with a price. We are bought and purchased with the blood of Jesus. So when we get that sickness and disease come upon us, it's trespassing. Let's serve that eviction notice signed by the promises of God. But you know, belief is a two-edged sword. Because belief is the door to your heart. You can believe a lie. But if you believe it, that lie will produce fruit in your life.
That's right.
So what you believe is of utmost importance. Don't plant a seed of doubt and let it produce fruit in your life. Mark Shell gave a good message last week, a very good message on mothering your miracle. You know, because once you plant that seed, you water that seed. Because if I speak life, and then I keep that seed and I water it by constantly confessing over it, constantly confessing over it, then God confirmed his word by my faithfulness and my acting upon his word. So the next thing that we need to speak and we need to confess, speak and confess the words of God. Words are so important because they have creative power. Just like God created the worlds by his words, he has also created us in his likeness. We were created in his likeness. So we have that same creative power with our words. In Proverbs 18, it said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. So we need to speak faith. Confess with our mouths what we believe in our hearts. Confession is one of the components of faith. It's the third component of faith. The original Greek word says confess means to agree with or to speak the same thing that God says. We need to speak in agreement with the word of God. We don't speak our feelings or symptoms. We speak the word of God. See, we never speak our symptoms. We speak to our symptoms. You know, it's something that said that sometimes we tell our symptoms and tell our problems how big they are to God. Oh, God, this problem is so big in my life. But we need to start telling our problems how big our God is.
Amen.
So we speak to our problems. Sickness, you have no place in my life. I serve that eviction notice on you. Mm-hmm. Get out of my life. And just think when we speak the words of God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now say that again. Think about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Now, if you really believe that scripture, just think of what you can accomplish for the body. Because we serve a God that can do anything. If we serve a God that can do anything, then if we just believe him, he can do anything through us. You know, Paul spoke this scripture when he was at a point where he was where he's saying, I can abase or I can abound. And see, that's where we are right now. But how do we see God in our situation right now with this pandemic? How are we viewing God? We can abase or we can abound. But wherever we are, we got to be content. That's why Paul said, I can do all things. Whatever need to be accomplished, he can do it because he got the strength of God. I can do all things to God who strengthens me. You know, the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus had nothing to do with her being healed. He didn't know that she was there. He was just going about his way, trying to make the Jairus house to pray for his daughter. And this woman changed her whole life by just what she believed. She had the issue of blood for 12 years. She had spent all she had on doctors. She was to the point where she didn't have anywhere else to go. But she heard Jesus was coming through. She heard it. She believed it. So then she started confessing. Said, I believe this man is really a healer. So if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And if you listen and if you study in the original, she didn't say it one time. She said she spoke it and it was continuously. If I can just touch, if I can just touch, if I can just touch. And she kept saying it. And the more she said it, the more faith she built up. And the more she said it, the more trust she had that it would happen. I could just touch the hem of his garment. Then I'll be made whole. And Jesus was walking along. in the crowd. He's just walking along. Then all of a sudden he said, "Who touched me?" That's why I know he wasn't expecting her. But I know she was healed at the time she touched his garment, because Jesus said, "I felt the virtue leave from me." And that virtue that left from him was through her faith, through her persistence. She changed her life. Jesus didn't have anything to do with it. And the same for Jesus. I've already put all the promises out there for us. It is up to us to decide on what we want prevalent in our lives. He's given us everything to deal with life and godliness. The next one is trust. We have to trust. When we hear the word, we know of him. We believe what he says. We confess our word. And now the only thing is to trust. So you got to have total trust in God. In order for faith to work, you have to have total trust in God and his abilities. Webster defined trust as, don't screen, confidence or reliance or resting of the mind of the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, and other sound principles of another person. In other words, you put your entire trust and life in that one person. Confidence and a reliance. We must trust and be willing to act on the knowledge and our convictions. True faith is revealed by our actions. We'll only act on the things we really believe in. See, trust causes you to act upon that thing you believe. Because you won't pray and then not act upon, like, let's say I give my tithes and offering. Say, "Father, I give my tithes and offering." My action is give my tithes and offering. But if I continually go by and don't expect, because God said he would open the windows of heaven and probably bless not having room enough to receive. My action is carrying on and continuing to sow, because he said if I continue to sow, that he will continue to give me a harvest. So my action is continuing to sow. If I'm sick and I know that my healing is in place, I do everything I can in the natural. Then, like they said in Ephesians, at that point when I've done all I can do, I stand. I stand. That's my action, to stand. Because at that point, it's all up to God. I've done everything that you ask in my word, in your word. I believe. I have confessed. And I believe in my heart without doubting, not doubting. Then everything is up to God. That's when you're called casting your cares. That's all we got to do. Cast our cares. In Proverbs 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. Trust in him with all your heart. And don't think about things in the natural, like I said, because we live in an upside down kingdom. Don't think about the natural things that's happening in our life. He said, lean not to your own understanding. Because a lot of times we won't be scientific about things. We want things in a logical in a logical manner. But that's not God's way. That's not his way. He said, lean not to thy own understanding, but acknowledge me in all your ways. And I will take care of you. I will direct your path. I will take you to the point that I want you to be. Another scripture. Still in the King James Version. 2 Samuel. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. In other words, it's been tried. Other people that's gone before, that's why the Bible is an example for us. Because people have tried his word, and it has worked. So my word has been tried. He is a buckler, and to him and to all of them that trust in him, our actions work. And come into agreement when we speak what we believe and have total trust. But also it works. Like I said, if we believe God for our healing, then we need to do everything in the natural for that healing. In James 2 and 14, it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" We can believe God all we want to, or confess all we want to, until we put actions and trust with what we believe in for, it won't materialize. Because they're trusting God with all your heart. So when we believe God for a particular thing, we got to know he's more than able to perform. Faith is acting like it's so. Faith is acting like the promise of God has already been fulfilled in your life. With your actions, you reveal the absolute faith of God is fulfilled in his promises. Once you gain the knowledge and the belief needed to approach God, it is left all up to trust. Only thing we got to do is trust. And that reminds me of the story of Ruth. Or Ruth and Naomi. Ruth had such confidence, because when Naomi said she was going back to her land, Ruth told her, "My land will be your land, and your God will be my God." So she had all confidence when she got back to the promised land that everything that she believed God for would come to pass. And she believed God for Boaz, and he showed up because she believed, when she put her whole trust and confidence in Naomi's God. She said, "My land will be your land, and my God will be your God." And when she found favor with Boaz and met him in the fields, and she asked him, "Why have you found favor with me?" This was Boaz's response in Ruth 2 and 12. "The Lord recompense thy work." The Lord recompense thy work. "And a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." See, she had complete trust and confidence in Naomi's God. That Naomi's God would provide her everything that she would need. Because she gave up all. She could have went back to where she was, to her people. But God planted in her heart that this is the way you need to go. And when Ruth chose that way, God blessed her tremendously. But what we need to do is find rest in God. Find rest in him. Because that's all rest is when we enter into the rest of God. It means that we trust him in all that we do. All that we put forth, we trust him. You know, these elements of faith with knowledge of the word, believing in the word, speaking the promise, and having complete trust. And now it's more prevalent to believers than ever before. Because we got to demonstrate to the world that our God can deliver what he says he can do. In time of need, he meets every need. Just think. Who would have thought about where you are right now with this pandemic going on? I mean, like I said before, even thinking financially. God has blessed us more than we could have ever imagined because we're believing him. He has given us more time with our family. One thing I enjoy more than anything is the precious time that he gave me with my family. We live in Northern Virginia. It is so robust. And the busyness, just the busyness, you don't have time to spend with your family. So I enjoy that time, that dinner time, when all are sitting around the table at the same time enjoying each other. Those are precious times. And some we wouldn't have had if Satan hadn't stuck his head up. But see, like I said, Satan meant this for evil. And he meant it for harm. But God turned it around to the good. Amen. Turned it around to our good. So every word of God is pure. He is a shield that we put our trust in him. Put our total trust in him. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank that you have given us provisions. You have said you have given us every blessing in heavenly places. And Father, doing this study, we will build a super highway between the natural and the supernatural. So Father, we rely totally on you. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you are due, because you are our God. We trust, we have confidence. Our confidence is in your faithfulness, because you are a faithful God. And Father, we don't take things lightly. We'll go forth to demonstrate your love, to demonstrate your mercies, and to demonstrate your grace into all that we see and all that we come into contact with, because we want to share you. It's a sin not to share what God has provided to us. And Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory and honor for all things being so according to your word, in Jesus' name. You know, I usually start my teachings with the believer's confession of faith. Today, I want to end with that confession. So whatever you have, your iPad, your Bible, your telephone, some of you might use your laptop, whatever you use as your sword, would you please get it in your hand and make this confession with me? So I am a believer.
I am a believer.
I am not a doubter.
I am not a doubter.
I am not moved.
I'm not moved
by what I see.
I am not moved
by what I hear.
I
am not moved
by how I feel.
I'm only moved
by what I believe.
And I believe
the word of Father God.
And this that I hold in my hand
is Father God's word.
I am
who Father God says that I am. I can have
what Father God says I can have.
And I can do
what Father God says I can do.
So Father God,
thank you
for equipping me
with your word. Now we need to give him a shout of praise.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Yes, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faithfulness.